He's always on our short list. He's from Fox Sports, SwollenDome.com. Let's bring in Mike Harmon. Mike, are you like Merrill Hodge and feel the Ravens are one of the more overrated teams in the NFL?
Do I need to just try to throw stuff against the wall for bold statement purposes? Obviously, it's only 1 week, but given the way this rivalry has gone in recent history, and I know listening in and reading online the news and evaluations going into the game, you know, there wasn't a lot of love and support for the quarterback there. So all of a sudden to elevate him to godlike status might be a little bit hyperbole, but you know what? Came out big, silenced some critics, and now we'll see where they go forward. The offensive line played better than I think anybody would have expected. You knew Leach's addition would help spring things a little bit in the run game, but again, I don't think anybody expected the obliteration that you saw Sunday afternoon.
No, we didn't. And to be honest with you, I want to go to Anquan Boldin. He did some things on Sunday that I've been looking forward to seeing him do, and I think that's because a new offensive scheme, a new game plan, yes, but you also have some stud athletes around him that allows him to get open and operate in space.
Yeah, I think, you know, you started using Dixon early, so you had him getting down the field a bit. And, you know, with Flacco, there just seemed to be a bigger sense of urgency to push the ball. And I think that Boldin fed off that, at least it looked like earlier, you know, trying to fight for his space, go after the ball, and I think that's what you wanted when he was brought in as a number one. Certainly for 1 week, he looked like a guy that wants to reclaim that status and push this team forward.
Mike, what do you call the fantasy stars, the Ginsu or whatever it is?
Oh, you mean the ninjas?
The ninja.
Coming out of nowhere, sure.
Yeah, Ray Rice was ninjing it up against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Do you think this will be a season-long run of success, no pun intended, for the guy out of Rutgers?
I'll tell you what, he has a game like that against Pittsburgh, a team he'd never scored against in the regular season. It averaged only 75, 76 total yards per game coming in there. Ran with authority, obviously getting him out in pass patterns, fantastic. But with a lead blocker like that, and you get a little bit of love at the goal line, get to finish what you started, the ceiling, the sky's the limit for this guy. I mean, the ceiling's obviously raised, and if he's going to get extra help downfield, and we didn't get to see Lee Evans, you know, make a contribution on the stat sheet, but once that starts popping, there's going to be an awful lot of running space for Ray Rice.
You know, you talk about offensively on the other side of the football, the other sideline, the Pittsburgh Steelers just couldn't get it done offensively, couldn't get it going. I think the fact that they were down 14-0 within the blink of an eye kind of took them out of their running game. If you could look at it, from an unbiased standpoint, because, you don't key either way, what did the Pittsburgh Steelers do wrong offensively on Sunday?
Well, obviously we saw the just inconsistency, just trying to get the playoff. I mean, good pressure from the defensive front, not leading the way and making life difficult. And as soon as you eliminate the ground game, which is how they set everything up all these years, because Mendenhall doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield, like that's one element that's lost, when you're looking at that squad. You start looking at Isaac Redman, and you start looking at bringing in Mwelde Moore. I mean, that really changes what that offense would be all about. But, you know, Roethlisberger didn't look quite himself. He had some botched snaps and handoffs. I mean, the handoff attempt to Mendenhall that went off his shoulder pad. You know, you have all these little mistakes that the Steelers are one of those teams you normally don't see those going into the negative columns. You don't normally see the unforced errors. Not to say that Baltimore obviously caused, but I'd say 5 of the 7 turnovers, 6 of the 7. The botched handoff is just ridiculous. But, you know, they were out of their game early in early second quarter. Just didn't look like they even wanted to be on the field anymore.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com here on the Bob and Rob Show, 105.7 The Fan. Let's talk about that Ravens defense with those 7 turnovers. Is this something, a plus differential, 7 certainly, and when the Ravens historically have had success, they've been big in that turnover differential. Off to a flying start here. What about Baltimore as far as a fantasy defense in that area? Should you consider using them each and every week?
Oh, yeah, I liked them rising, especially when you had Billy Cundiff kicking it through the goalpost and then having guys setting up at the 20-yard line. I like the idea of that coming into the season. But when we're counting up turnovers and you're going to see the names Lewis and Reed, you know, creeping in there, you know, all of a sudden you've got a much different animal. Nada playing a little bit faster on the line, obviously getting his push, and they get the help on the defensive front. It's going to help, you know, offset what any perceived or real, we still don't know, deficiencies at the rest of the secondary. Obviously, you know, still waiting words on some of the early injuries and such. But, you know, on paper, you know, they're a team that were probably creeping around the top five. And after an effort like that, when you start looking at Bruce Gradkowski or Colt McCoy, you've got to be feeling good going forward.
You know, you and I talked about it from a fantasy standpoint. You start looking at the numbers that were put up this week, 14 quarterbacks over 300 yards passing, five games where both quarterbacks went over 300 yards passing. You know, this thing is starting to cater to the fantasy world a lot more. This has to be a fantasy man's delight.
You know, as a guy who grew up in Chicago, loving 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
I don't know how you love that.
Used to this stuff. But, you know, and also in the Big Ten. So, you know, we didn't see a lot of this high-flying stuff. So I guess I got my appetite whetted, and I've kind of come to understand it being out here in Pac-12 country now that they keep expanding. Let's make it Pac-24 and be done with it.
Right.
But, yeah, so, you know, you look all the way down the line, Fitzpatrick, Cobb, Chad Henne last night. We had him as a ninja pick on our radio show, and if I read you any of the tweets we got in response to that, we'd all lose any of the licenses we've ever had to broadcast. So, you know, just a strange week overall, and then you go into the Rocky Mountain era and you get a 63-yard field goal that changed a few fantasy leagues as well. So it was an interesting week, and, you know, all the thought of, hey, the defenses will be ahead of the offense, clearly all that analysis was rubbish.
Do you think, you mentioned the Mile High and Broncos lose on Monday night to the Raiders. Do you think John Fox, veteran coach, been to the Super Bowl when he was in Carolina, do you think he will cave to fan pressure and put Tim Tebow in there at any point this year?
Well, I think if it gets terribly ugly and we start looking at week 7, week 8, and you're looking at a 1-7 team or a 2-5 team, you need to go look at the schedule. And obviously it's only one game. They'll clean things up. You know, the play of the night, Dave Grohl, I mean, Orton went back to pass and just dropped the ball flat out with the potential throwback. You know, Jay Cutler missed his guy. They at least got to settle for a field goal. Here he just left it on the carpet. What would have been 7 becomes a turnover the other way. And frankly, you know, watching that thing, receivers left at least 6 balls on the field that would have, you know, kept drives alive, maybe opened some running room. I mean, you saw NoShawn Moreno and Willis McGahee were invisible in terms of run numbers. So I have to suspect that gets a little better. But if we get to midseason, yeah, maybe you give the fans what they want because Kyle Orton isn't going to be the answer.
You know, we thought in this division, the AFC North, that Cleveland would be the third-place team and Cincinnati would be the cellar dwellers. And Bob's not liking it right now because Cleveland got him out of his survivor pool. But we heard Mary Kay Cabot on the morning show here on 105.7 The Fan, and she was saying that the lack of continuity, these guys on offense for Cleveland haven't been working together. And for a timing West Coast offense, that was a killer for them. How much of that is accurate over maybe Cleveland a little overrated?
Well, I think everybody got excited having watched Colt McCoy a little bit last season and into the preseason. The loss of Steinbuch, I don't think, can be discounted on the offensive line. I think that really changed them a little bit. And Massacoy was banged up coming into camp. I mean, he had 3 catches yesterday, but you can see the timing isn't there. When you've got to rely on Watson and Moore to carry you, I mean, this isn't a Tom Brady-led attack. I mean, you need some wide receivers that can stretch thing, and you can't be relying on the dump to Peyton Hillis time and time again. So with no confidence in the downfield game, they're certainly going to be rough times because, you know, you're still going to see your 8-in-a-box against Peyton Hillis to try to slow him down. And defensively, I mean, they just got worn down. I mean, the fourth quarter, everything's looking fine, and then the parting of the Red Sea and Cedric Benson, who I don't know has ever run the ball 39 yards and a half, just kidding, let alone one play, you know, all of a sudden he's sprinting to daylight. So just a very interesting end to that game, and, you know, the tough fought, and then they just seemed to let up at the end.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com here on the Bob and Rob Show. Talking about quarterbacks, what about Cam Newton's performance? Set a rookie record for passing yardage in his very first ball game. Is that enough to inspire people now, Mike, to put him on their fantasy squad?
Yeah, he's getting picked up. We've gotten so many tweets. I'll be going into the Fox Labs later tonight to talk about this stuff, to watch the trends, because you know, everybody's getting excited, and well, with a healthy Steve Smith sprinting around like he was, then you're feeling a little better. But you also have to look at Arizona's defense and wonder why there was about, I don't know, 35 yards of green around him on all sides. Like, how do you lose him? He's the only receiver of note in that Carolina offense, except for Thor lookalike Greg Olsen. But, you know, with Newton, I would expect you'll see him scramble a little bit more in weeks to come. Obviously, a big test for him this week with Green Bay on the slate. But you saw some good things. You saw him willing to air it out, willing to push downfield. And I think from a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of upside there. I mean, if he's just going to come out gunning, saying, look, we're going to get better. He got no support from the run game in this particular contest. A little more balance, and you'll have some more metered out opportunities. But, yes, folks expecting repeat fireworks, better temper those expectations because Clay Matthews will send them right back.
You know, when you're a rookie quarterback, your first game, you pass for over 400 yards, everyone's supposed to talk about you. You run for a couple of touchdowns. You deserve to be talked about. However, on the flip side, you know, Kevin Cobb, 300 yards passing, Beanie Wells, 90 yards rushing on 18 carries, Elder Doucette, three receptions for over 105 yards. The Arizona Cardinals offense didn't look bad either. It looked a lot better than it did when they had the carousel of quarterbacks last year.
Well, anything was an upgrade. I think any of the three of us could have gone out there and just started winging it downfield and wished and prayed our way into some yardage, just much like they did last year. But, you know, the key to that game, they come out with a victory. Beanie Wells ran hard with authority, comes up with 90 yards. They don't really have a second option there. Chester Taylor will be ready for week two, so I'll be curious to see if and how early he's worked into the mix. But, I mean, Fitzgerald was a virtual bystander, caught only three of, I think, the 11 targets for 62 yards. You get Doucette with the big play. Tight ends had four catches among them. And I think with Kevin Cobb, there's going to be opportunity there. And, you know, if we're going to switch it back into the fantasy land, that defense may be sieve-like. You're going to score a lot of points with Kevin Cobb trying to play catch-up and work out of shootouts.
Mike, Indianapolis gets clobbered in week one by Houston. They're hosting the Browns this week. Bill Polian was down in Durham watching Andrew Luck, Stanford quarterback, take on the Blue Devils. Surgery, we know about it. Estimated time of returning to the lineup, nobody really knows. I mean, is there a chance, maybe a faint chance at that, but is there a chance that Peyton Manning has played his last game in a Colts uniform?
Well, I think there's certainly that thought out there. I mean, you're looking at three procedures. I mean, we're not dealing with, hey, he had a little bit of arthroscopic knee surgery or, you know, something to repair a ligament in the finger. I mean, we're talking big time, one more hit, and, you know, I don't even want to think about the potential consequences. And, you know, Peyton Manning's a pragmatic man. I mean, as much as he wants to get on the field, I think he kind of sees it there, and the Colts have to start preparing for the future anyway. I mean, because how many years did you really think Peyton Manning was going to keep rolling anyway? I mean, we're going to get to where he's a 44-year-old wonder still creeping out there. I mean, he's 35 now. So, you know, it wasn't like he was going to play forever, and they had to start to look. But certainly scouting trips to see Andrew Luck are going to become more frequent if they look like they did in week one.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com. Tell everybody, Mike, about those websites.
We're doing a lot of yelling. Today I'm going to be busting out the target totals from week one, giving you a glimpse inside the box scores and letting you know who's creeping up on the radar. Perhaps sneaky, because maybe the reception total wasn't there, but you see the guys that are emerging. We're going to do a little bit of waiver wires on the Dome today. Later on in the Fox Labs, going in to talk about week two already. Start with the sit starts, some of the sleeper/ninja picks. They still want me to say sleepers. I'm fighting it every step of the way, my friends. We're going to get the ninjas to become part of the vernacular before it's done.
All right, Mike Harmon, as always, good to talk to you. FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com. When we catch up next Tuesday, we'll talk a little baseball because that thing going on in the American League wild card getting a little interesting with the Rays and Red Sox, isn't it?
definitely getting a little tighter. Everybody was writing it off, saying, the only race is the Texas Anaheim or Los Angeles of Anaheim or however tagged you want to do it. But all of a sudden, the wild card up for grabs. I'm digging it, getting back into baseball a little bit. But, you know, when it's all said and done, it's about two-a-days and getting ready for the next week of the National Football League. So you guys go and enjoy your win.
Yes.
Strut like peacocks, and I'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.